We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. This is Cheryl from Djadjawarong country.
Hello and welcome to episode 116 of the Beyond 90 podcast. This is Eric Subihano, filling in once again as host for Cheryl Down. So Cheryl, we certainly hope you're doing okay. And we're time of recording. It's late on the public holiday Monday. So luckily, putting up with me and staying up late to join me, I've got two excellent co-hosts. So Magella Card of Matilda's Active Support fame and fellow Beyond 90 writer, Dale Roots, a transplanted Canberran who now lives in Sydney, such as myself. So firstly, Madge, how are things going up in Queensland? And was it a public holiday? Was it a public holiday for Queensland as well?
It was, but I think it's a different public holiday.
Ah, yeah.
I don't think it's officially changed to King's birthday yet, but it's Queen's birthday for us today. Okay. So, yes, very nice to have a public holiday, but I haven't actually been doing much in Queensland this last week because I've been in Sydney for the Basketball World Cup. So have been enjoying that, but yeah, back home now.
Yes, I did enjoy your social media post, Madge. And it actually, I don't know why I need to be reminded of that because we actually had dinner in Parramatta last week with friend of Beyond 90, Angela Christian Wilkes. So I don't know why I bothered asking you about stuff in Queensland.
It was good times in Sydney.
Yeah. And of course, Dale, so how has this long weekend been for you?
Not very long, unfortunately. Some of us have to keep the economy ticking along, and those of us in my industry have been doing just that. But I have been very handsomely remunerated for my very difficult day of work today. So, no, great weekend of football overseas. So other than that, not much going on here.
Yep. So that's good. So now that's the important thing. You were remunerated very handsomely for your services.
Of course.
As you deserve to be, Dale. And just on myself, my Twitter followers will know how much this means to me. I've watched 6 games of futsal over the long weekend and I'm a very, very happy man. But let's move on. So episode 116 means we talk about Matilda's cap 116, who is Cassandra Kell, debuted for the Matildas in 2002. Made 30 appearances all up for our national team. She was a goalkeeper who was in the squads for both the 2003 World Cup and the 2004 Olympics. Domestically, she made 50 appearances over 7 WNSL seasons for the New South Wales Sapphires. And then we love a dual code athlete, and we might mention another dual code athlete later on. After Kell's football days, she just made the minor switch to cycling and had great success on the velodrome, winning the 2011 Australian National Championships in the team sprint alongside Carly McCulloch. So I did look that up. She beat Anna Mears and Stephanie Morton. So beating Anna Mears is one of the biggest wows I can think of, especially in your second sport or something you've switched to. So congratulations definitely to Cassandra. She was also a goalkeeper coach at both Central Coast Mariners and Northwest Sydney Spirit. And so it sounds like she kind of lives near me based on that. And she is currently an athlete carer and soft tissue therapist for Cycling Australia. So I'm going to say that kind of sounds like she might be described as a soigneur. And I really, really hope we have even one listener that knows what a soigneur is. But
that is very niche.
Yeah, very, it is incredible. Very niche. I am so proud of how niche it is. Can you tell? Can you tell I've been watching a World Cycling Championships recently?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. And the big news, so tonight at the time of recording, this week is the start of NTC, the National Talent Challenge, being held for the first time since 2019. Of course, the obvious layoffs due to COVID. So that's at the AIS in Canberra for the week of October 3rd to 7th. It's under 18 state teams from across the country, a very important talent identification event for both the national teams and possibly to fill out the last few spots in an A-League women roster. So I don't know. I did hear some bad news off Darcy Malone's dad, Bernard, today, because apparently New South Wales Metro lost their first game. But hopefully, and I get to say this because Cheryl ain't here, as long as Victoria doesn't win.
Yes. That is the most important thing. Also important that, you know, these girls are going to get a run around and potentially, obviously with, you know, junior national teams and things like that, it's a good identification pathway for young players, not necessarily players that, you know, teams may necessarily be able to have their eye on, whether they're remote players or whether they're players who might just be in Western Australia or South Australia, where there might be less talent ID available just because of the nature of distance. But yeah, yep. It's another event being hosted at the AIS, which is not good enough for a World Cup training base, but that's okay.
And yes, I share your consternation over that list of yours and Stefan's consternation over that list of training bases. Of course, Stefan, our Nordic and Canberra expert, couldn't be here tonight. It's a bit unwell, but hopefully you get better soon, Stefan. On other big news, and there's not much bigger news for us, of course, as an Australian women's football podcast, than the announcement of a Matilda squad. So this one came in two parts. There was the initial squad last week, which I think would say had not much in the way of surprises, but news coming in late last night or early this morning, depending on your point of view, four unfortunate injuries, those being Emily Van Egmond, Tamika Yallop, Claire Wheeler, and Kaya Simon. Those four players have withdrawn, resulting in late call-ups for, firstly, Matilda McNamara. How good.
Very good.
Also, Remy Simpson and Emma Checker. I think I'll throw it to Madge in a bit, but I just want to make the point, I don't know if you two agree, it feels like proximity to at least the Denmark game is a factor in those three being selected. But especially for Matilda. Madge, one of just I've kind of thrown you on the bus here, but what are your thoughts firstly on the squad and then the three late call-ups? Oh, and also the absences, because I think you had something to say about that.
Yeah, well, I know, I think it's interesting and probably a good thing as well, because I think the original squad, and I think we've talked about this previously, like there's no lack of midfielders in sort of the top tier squad that keeps getting selected. So it's actually nice to see some defenders come in, because I mean, when you've been selecting the same midfielders over and over again, but then they haven't been getting minutes, it's nice to see that there might be some other options off the bench in a defensive aspect when bringing in Checker and McNamara. So I think a lot of people will be happy with that. I think we're happy with that. Being able to see some different names in there that, you know, potentially if there were some other injuries in the lead up to the World Cup, I think it's nice to test out some more of that defensive depth, because I think we've got a lot of talent there in midfield, that bringing in yet another midfielder wouldn't have added that much to the lead up to the World Cup. So I think that's good to see. And it's good to see, Remy also get that spot. But I agree, it does seem like those people that were easy to bring in at this late notice from the European squads as well. I guess there is the one big omission that a lot of people are talking about online is Jacinta Galabatarachi.
That is a very good question.
Galabatarachi is
balling out for Celtic in the Scottish Women's Premier League. And the literal answer, and the what you actually meant, I'm just going to shrug because I don't know.
I mean, and she's still uncapped. I mean, not that really matters in this sense, but she's still uncapped, which is interesting going into the kind of final clutches of a World Cup campaign or World Cup qualification campaign, for want of a word. But the squad does have like a real kind of mid to late 90s feel about it, where it's just players playing in like Scandinavia. Like the whole defensive line, except for Steph Cutley, is playing in either Denmark or Sweden at the moment. Mm-hmm. But that is quite interesting. That the Matilda McNamara, obviously up for a debut. Strange to think that she's only 4 years younger than, Alana Kennedy.
Which is
wild. But obviously her getting cap would mark really a pretty meteoric rise when you think about it. Matilda McNamara wasn't really known much prior to really last season before last in the A-League Women's. Yes. And now she's gone over to Denmark. Looks like she's getting a decent run over there, and she could potentially get a Matilda's call up. So that would be as I said, pretty meteoric rise for her. It, as I said, it does have a bit of a, you know, 90s feel about it. There's like, we now have no midfielders and we just have defenders and forwards. We have, I'm just having a look at the Wikipedia article, there are 8 forwards and 7 defenders listed. So look, I'm just glad that we're sticking to what we're good at, which is running and chasing the ball a lot.
Yes.
I feel and, like we might be doing that a lot against Denmark.
Well, you see, the goals are at either end, so that's really the two most important parts of the field.
And having watched us play Canada, we do love to pass the ball over midfield, so I don't see any point to their being there. I think that's more than fine. Maybe my lack of trust for Tony in the last few months has, you know, been the wrong move, and I should have been believing in him all along.
Yeah. So are you suggesting a 5-0-5 formation for these games?
I'm suggesting Katrina Gori is going to act like the turret on top of a armored vehicle and just be spraying passes around from the base of the base of midfield. And that's all we need. But yeah, it's a good looking squad. It's good to see like players like Fowler, Vine obviously starting to bed into the squad, I think, as well. And I think that we kind of now know that, like, Nevin and Grant, Nevin's a bit of a hothead sometimes, but like Nevin and Grant, we're really kind of building them up to be the future, which I think is really important, moving, you know, to 2027, which is, or even to Paris and then 2027.
And it's a good opportunity for my favorite thing, which is Gori and Chidiak in midfield get together.
Yeah,
just
that's
give me
a good
that
point.
Every game, and I'm happy.
With Van Egmond not in the squad, I feel like this really presents him. I've mentioned this on here before. I feel sometimes like Van Egmond is really the square peg in the round hole. And I feel like now we've got a proper box-to-box midfielder in terms of Legazo, who I've really always really highly rated as our number 8, and then Chidiak potentially to play as our number 10. I think that she's the best option as the number 10. I like Cooney Cross more as kind of a winger, just because I think that she spreads the play a little bit more, whereas Chidiak's, in my opinion, at least a much more technically proficient player, and has a lot better vision. When Cooney Cross has played in the A-League Women's, I tend to find that she does well one-on-one with opponents, but vision is not necessarily her strength. And that was really displayed last year when Chids and KCC played together. But as I said, like that's, other than that, we're pretty short for midfield options. So we might be seeing, you know, we could see Emma Checker step into defensive midfield. Mary Fowler could play as a number 10. Like at least we've got a few options kind of to choose. Well, we might see Tegan Michael playing on the field. I'm really spitballing here. I'm doing my best.
Speaking, I do actually have something for Australian goalkeepers doing not goalkeeper things later on in the show. Now, I was just reminded of something with you speak about Matilda McNamara's meteoric rise. It certainly is. And it's not been the easy path. Now, her A-League women debut was actually way back in the 2015-16 season, which is a big surprise to find out. Then no appearances until the 2019-20 season, where she got 4 starts towards the end of the campaign. I believe her first start is actually a win against the Wanderers, and then she basically started every game since then. So it's it's had to come a bit. It's not the usual pathway for Matilda, but I'm certainly glad she's doing so. As anyone who follows me on Twitter or listens to the pod will know, she's one of my favorite central defenders. She's also got a lot of game time for our AGF in Denmark. I think she started every game and only been subbed once, and even then in that game she got over an hour. So yeah, plenty
of game time. That point that you make about 2015, like I'm just looking at her stats now. Her first game in the dub was a 92nd minute substitution for Rosie Sutton. So like this is a long, long time ago. A-League women's teams.
Yes. We'll wait to see how it is. Of course, I wish I'd put these in the notes. It's Matilda's playing South Africa at Kings Meadow, normally the home of Chelsea's WSL team. And I just want to make this reference again. Apologies if this is a repeat. Australia versus South Africa just gives me big Craven Cottage vibes, because I imagine if that was a men's international, there's only one ground where that's played, and that's Craven Cottage. So clearly Kings Meadow, the Craven Cottage equivalent. But
I really think that like that era of the Socceroos is so ripe for renewal with the number of players that we have playing in Europe at the moment. Like just playing friendly games in London makes so much sense.
Yes.
And yeah, logistically, I mean, you've got heaps of airports there. South Africa's in the same time zone, you know, kind of, it really kind of works.
I'm sure that era involves an Australia versus New Zealand game in London as well, which is,
I think you might be right, actually.
Happened. Yeah, I'm sure that's happened. Mm. But yeah, we have, I mean, that's enough tangents for now. Let's move on. There was also a announcement finally of the second Matildas game in the November international window. And as a Northwest Sydney resident, this is pretty much the second best option apart from Parramatta Stadium. So it's Matildas versus Thailand, Tuesday 15th of November at beautiful Central Coast Stadium in Gosford. So I'd like to know your thoughts. One of my first thoughts, and I'll protect the identity of the person I stole this off. I do feel like Thailand has been scheduled, firstly, with respect to them as an opponent that we're expected to beat. But nonetheless, I mean, some means it's still good. It'll still be a good opportunity for everyone. And I don't know. I'm just going to throw this out there. Are they picking Central Coast to try and build interest in women's football ahead of the Mariners' return to the A-League Women in the 2023-24 season? Or is that just coincidental?
We are through the looking glass, people. we want to believe.
Yes.
I also think that it might have to do with the fact that the New South Wales state government might be paying for this.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Potentially. Yes. Also, I think there's, because I'm absolutely still expecting there to be some games in Adelaide and Perth in the lead up to the World Cup. I think the Perth Stadium is still under renovations at the moment, so that will probably be next year. And I'm not sure if Hindmarsh has been completely upgraded.
Well, Macedonia Park in Perth is going to be the glory home ground for all but, I think, three of their home games this season. So Perth Oval will be out of action for quite a while. To your point, I kind of feel like maybe Perth is the last Matildas game because they don't, potentially won't play over there, so it might make sense that like their farewell game is at Perth. But there'll definitely be friendlies between now and the World Cup. There's no way on God's green earth there won't be.
Okay, so that, and I hope to be there. It is also convenient for one of our photographers, Kelly Lemon, the mother, of course, of New Sydney FC signing Abby Lemon. So I think there'll be some Beyond 90 presence there for sure. So next item was something that I shamefully forgot to mention last week, but at least now that Madge is here and as a Queenslander, she will have insight on a couple of these players. Last week, the Young Matildas held a training camp, and this is apologies for making everyone feel old. The Young Matildas now are this age group. It's players born 1st of January 2004 or later. So this is just, the one thing that can't be stopped is the passage of time, but I suppose that's a good thing. So the list had a few people with A-League women experience already. So Ella Abdelmassi, Alexia Apostolakis, Naomi Chinema come to mind, but certainly plenty of youngsters. Madge, unfortunately, from your perspective, only three Queenslanders, but I think you know a fair bit about Ella O'Grady, Heidi Dennis, who you pointed out to me.
I am excited about Heidi Dennis. Yes. She's the one that I couldn't remember when Talitha Kramer was announced for Brisbane Roar. Heidi Dennis is the also plays rugby for the Reds program as well. And she is a unit as a defender. Yes. So really hoping that the Roar pick her up again this season as well. She did, I think she played one or two games for the Roar either last season or the season before. I think it was last season. Really sort of solid on the ball, no nonsense defender, a real presence in the box. So good to see her getting called up into the program here.
Yep, and the other player from Queensland was Zara Kruger, and I think I may have spoken briefly about players. There's a strong NTC bias in the tends to be in this youth in these youth national
teams. Yeah, Zara's probably Zara Kruger's from Lions. Yeah, so that's them getting the fruition out of the relatively young Lions women's program. Yeah. It's been around for a few years, and of course it's pumping out, you know, players into their senior team and making them very dominant in the NPL W Queensland. And so it's, yeah, great to see Zara getting a call up in here as well. So I think, you know, even though it's great having the NTC programs, being able to funnel talent, I think when you've got different programs all around the country contributing pathways to our national teams, I think that's only a positive thing.
Yeah. And just to honour Stefan, who is not here, big shout out to the Capital Football duo of Sasha Grove and Chloe Lincoln, two other players that have A-League women experience. Also, a big thank you to Sasha Grove for being the first person to like my silly tattoo-related Instagram post that I made today. So certainly as quick on the Instagram as she is on the ball. My other point about players from outside NTCs, a player I'm a big fan of and a player that Lockie France, friend of Beyond 90 and College Matilda's admin, is also a big fan of, a first young Matilda's caller for Claudia Chico from RPL Leichhardt. So she is ex-Football New South Wales Institute, spent the last two NPL seasons with RPL, been excellent really as a defender, both in right back or central defence. And also her father, Alex, gives me lots of red wine whenever I go to RPL's home ground.
Yeah, I was going to say, the bottles of Barbaresco will be popping in the streets of Leichhardt as we speak, yes, I'm sure.
Yes, so absolutely delighted. And I think that possibly the first name that she's been mentioned on this, first time that Claudia has been mentioned on this podcast, won't be the last. You will see her in A-League Women this season. I cannot say where, but anyway, we'll go on. Anyway, so we've got the link in the pod notes for that whole Young Matilda squad, just so you can have a look at the whole thing. And then as we go on to dub news and signings, a couple more just briefly through this. It's a few unsurprising signings. So Melissa Barbieri and Hannah Wilkinson to Melbourne City, Tara Andrews and Ash Brodigan to Newcastle Jets, but also some new names. Wellington Phoenix have signed Michaela Robertson, who is, I think, their first player that isn't a retained player from last season. So good to see that. I think she's been playing domestically in New Zealand. So good to see players from there domestically, another domestically based player being given an opportunity. Also, Western United have signed a couple of imports, an American goalkeeper, Hilary Beale, and a player from Guyana, at least by the grandparent rule, Sydney Cummings. So Western United, they've signed their league women's first Filipino player, which is Jacqueline Savitsky, and now they've signed the first Guyanese player as well. So at least from a Andy Howe stats nerd nationality standpoint, it's a very interesting squad.
Very true. The point that you were making around Michaela Robertson, first Wellingtonian and first Phoenix Academy product to play for the women's team.
Yes.
She's also 4'10". Wow. So low center of gravity. Winger. Playing for, she's been for the last two seasons at the Academy for the Phoenix. Prior to that, she was playing, well, she has represented Capital, which is one of their local associations around Wellington. So good signing for them. Good to see them picking up some local talent. Obviously, as we know, Wellington, not the biggest city in the world. Mm-hmm. But yeah, good to see that they are bringing some talent through locally.
Yeah. So 4'10". Hopefully she will be proficient in my favorite short person trick from when I was a not very good player, which is just every time a much bigger player goes near, you just fall over and win the free kick. So
yes,
I love doing that, and I hope Michaela can do some of that as well as flying.
Definitely,
down the wing.
Definitely feel like there's not a lot of very tall wingers in the dub, so I don't feel like she's going to get you know height. I have any issues with height against any opponents in our league at least.
Yeah, so but I'm sure she'll find a way. So as we I'll head to results about Aussies abroad. Firstly, there's the second leg of the second round of UEFA Champions League qualifiers. So I'll just briefly run through. More success for Joe Montemurro's Juventus. They've defeated Danish side HB Koya, and so they're into the group stage. As are Arsenal, home of Steph Catley and Caitlin Ford. They snuck past Ajax 3-2 on aggregate, thanks to a goal a goal in the second leg from Viviana Miedema. Then there are a couple of matchups with Aussies on both sides. So Tegan Meikers, Rosengard have knocked out Tamika Yallops Brand. So that's a Sweden, in a sense, Sweden winning over Norway. And then Lydia Williams' PSG defeated Ivy Lewis BK Häcken as well. So that's France defeating Sweden there. And so the group stage, I think Dale told me we're recording this a bit later than usual. We've just missed it because apparently it starts very soon.
Yeah. The draw, like the pots are out, but the draw will be taking place while we are doing this podcast. But I'm sure we'll have something coming up about that in the coming weeks.
Of course. So, and as I move briefly on to the UK segment, which we've decided to call Polly's Palace in honor of Crystal Palace wingback Polly Doran. So what stands out, just the standard Sam Kerr goal as Chelsea defeated West Ham in a midweek game last week. And then Claire Wheeler's Everton defeated Nicola Williams' Leicester City. Nicola Williams, an assistant coach at Leicester, but now we know why Claire Wheeler was not in the squad because of an issue with the knee. So yeah, get well soon, Claire. And then I just wanted to throw this to either of you. I think it's time for our annual rant about the ridiculous structure of the Conti Cup. There's, I type down results and I don't really know what's happening. You have scores, then you have penalty shootouts, and yeah.
Yeah, my understanding is that you have it's effectively a League Cup that is a Champions League, but the results are Americanized, so you can't have a draw. Yes. You play in groups based on your region. The Northwest is split, generally speaking, split so that like United and City aren't in the same group, and Liverpool aren't, Everton aren't in the same group. But yeah, I think you have four or five teams in a group. The top team goes through to the quarterfinals, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But it's only teams from the top two tiers. So I think it's only 22 teams. So it's super weird. I don't know of any other competition like this anywhere in the world. I know that might be a big stretch and my women's football knowledge is not necessarily that geographically advanced, but even like the French Cup, they used to have a League Cup, but now I think the French Cup is based geographically and they've changed that slightly as well. So like, but even that is nowhere near as strange as this. It's completely.
So do they play in like groups based on the regions or is it just?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not even a standard tournament with.
No.
Regions.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So
it sounds a little bit like the Kappa Cup in Queensland. They've got like the North region and the South region. And it's so like a team from the North is guaranteed to get through to the semifinals.
It's like you put the Champions League into Pro Evo Soccer because you can't, and that you don't have any of the, you don't have any of the licensing. So like, instead of like Group A and Group B, you have like Group Northwest 1 and Group Northwest 2, and it's just it's completely bizarre. But you know,
only they had the hockey style penalty shootouts as well. That are
unfortunately, it's not the hockey style. It's not the ice hockey style penalty shootouts.
They need to bring back the 90s MLS.
Oh yes,
that's what I'm thinking about. That's
they need to bring that back for the Conti Cup.
The dribbling shootout. Yeah.
We are at the cutting. We are at the bleeding edge of technology here on the Beyond 90 podcast, and I feel like we are on the bleeding edge of football takes, and if the WSL would like to take that, they are more than welcome to.
Oh, that would be really liven up the Conti Cup. So yeah, and I think just a memory from Dale's point, like draw, if a game ends in a draw, there's an immediate shootout, and then you get a bonus point if you win the shootout. So there were a couple over the weekend. So Emily Gielnick's Aston Villa defeated Manchester United on penalties after a 1-1 draw. Good for them. Good point for me, the winning penalty scored by a player of Filipino descent, which is England under 23 international Maz Pacheco. There was there was an incredible shootout between London City Lionesses and West Ham United, a shootout that went all the way to the keepers and then back and then to the people that took the first two penalties for their team. So I think 13 penalties all up. Mackenzie Arnold played a full game, all one full game, and scored in the shootout. So that's the other thing. So of course Backers had that reputation of being good with her feet, so use that to keep West Ham alive, and they ended up winning the shootout. What else was there? Keeping it with people who played for Raw to keep Madge happy. Isabel Dalton played a full game as Lewis FC defeated Charlton by 2-0. She also set up one of the goals. So yeah, but then we'll have the full results there for you. So that all of this meant on the weekend meant there was no FA Championship, no English second tier action. And then completing Polly's Palace in the Scottish Cup second round. Just the standard Jacinta Galabatarashti full game and a goal as Celtic defeated the wonderfully named Partick Thistle. And then lost Aussie Aoife Colville's Glasgow City defeated Aberdeen by 5-0. So perhaps Madge, are you happy to go through just the whatever catch caught your eye with continental Europe?
Yeah, so in France, we don't really have much Aussie action there. We got Ellie Carpenter's Lyon. Here I go with my pronunciation, but they defeated Rodez 2-0. Le Havre with a 2-2 draw against PSG, but Lydia Williams was an unused sub. So yeah,
that's concerning.
It is. It's like I haven't seen her I haven't been paying too much attention, but it doesn't seem like she's been getting a lot of game time. So it seems like what we were hoping was going to happen hasn't happened for Lydia so far. So that is concerning. We'd definitely love to see her getting a lot more game time in the lead up to the World Cup. In Italy, the big news there is Joe Montemurro's Juventus defeating Pomigliano 3-0. And then in Germany, Anna McGrath's SV Meppen still, I don't know if they've gotten a win so far this season, losing 2-0 to Hoffenheim. But good to see Anna getting a few minutes there, getting subbed on in the 64th minute.
Don't think she's missed a game yet. She's played at least some time.
She's playing a lot of bench minutes, which is really, really good. I'd rather I'd be getting bench minutes than sitting on the pine for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, yep. And then just briefly, so Aussie/Serbian pair of Vesna Milivojevic and Tyler J. Vlinic not in action. Serbian Women's Super League has a couple of weekends off, so no 13-0 victory for Spartak Subotica or whatever it ends up being. Then also our Swiss pair, firstly, we're not entirely sure that Tessa Tamplin is still actually with Servet, but for now, she's not in the squad again, but for what it's worth, Servet defeated Basel. And in the Swiss second division, Alex Gummer, she was not in the squad. I know she's had some injury things, unfortunately, recently that she's trying to come back from, but her Turnberner Oberlin defeated Schlieren by 3-1. So just briefly in the Nordic competition, I suppose something that'll make Stefan sad, so it's probably a good thing he's not here. It's what I feared might happen, which is Carly Rusbakken has left Lillestrøm. So she's really struggled with an ongoing foot injury, and it's really it killed what did start at the start of our beloved Nordic Raps, what did look to be a very promising move to Norway. So we hope she can get her foot right, and we hope to see her back in the field. And presumably she's going back to Australia, which presumably means the next time we see her on a field, it's with Canberra United. I just assume that's how it would go. But anything else? Remy Simpson, who has been getting a lot of game time, but her team AIK has really struggled, is bottom of the Swedish league. She scored as AIK lost 4-2 to Djurgården. Also missed a penalty though, so kind of something good, something bad there. But at the top end of the Swedish league, FC Rosengard leading that, and another full game for Tegan Micah. And then Kyra Cooney Cross scored in Hammarby's 1-1 draw with Patea, and all three of their Aussies being Kyra, Elise Keller-Knight and Courtney Nevin playing the full game. And then, you know, actually, this is actually pretty common given that Polks is a defender. Claire Polkinghorne scored for Witzel as they defeated Emma Cheka-Zamea by 5-0. And then, so Polks, Katrina Gori, Charlie Grant, and Emma Cheka all playing the full 90 minutes, which is excellent. And in Iceland, that's another goal from an Aussie. Susan Fongsonkam scored 2 penalties as KR Reykjavik defeated Thor/KA by 3-2. So although Margot Chavez not on the KR team sheet for that game. And unfortunately, KR have been relegated to the second tier. Thanks, Stefan, for those notes. Then I think the other main time in Norway, there was a Aussies on each side. Oh, sorry, in Denmark, Aussies on each side as AGF defeated Nordsjælland by 3-1. Big one for AGF. That's their first win of the season. Matilda McNamara played another full game for them. Unfortunately, Winona Heatley, an unused substitute for Nordsjælland. But Fortuna Hyring, the historical Aussie haven when Aussies move overseas, They lost 2-1 to Bronwu, but Angie Beard, who rumors say, I can't say more, may become a lost Aussie. Angie Beard and India Paige Riley, who is a lost Aussie, but glad to see her doing well with New Zealand. They both played full games. Let's see, perhaps now, Dale, if you could just take us through the NWSL, although there's not that much, but sorry about that.
Yeah, it's all good. So San Diego Wave had a 0-0 draw at home. Emily Van Egmond, 0-0 draw against North Carolina Courage, who seemed to have fallen off the face of the earth a little bit, yeah, in terms of
slow
their...
slow start, so just missed out on the playoffs, the top six
results
playoffs.
A little bit.
Slow start killed them, although they did win the Challenge Cup. So.
Yeah, that is true. Racing Louisville had a... What did they have? Let me have a quick look. Sorry, I'm just bringing this up. Racing Louisville had a 1-0 win at home against Kansas City Current. Chids and Chloe Logazzo there. Chids got a start and got 59 minutes. Logazzo, unfortunately, an unused sub. Chicago Red Stars with a 2-0 win at home against the Angel City. Chelsea Dorber, an unused sub there. In the other games, Gotham 3, Portland 3. That game was mad. Washington Spirit 1, Houston 2, and OL Reign 3, Orlando 0. The semifinals are next week, Monday our time. So a fortnight from now, because there was obviously the international break in the middle. OL Reign won the title by a single point, 40 points from their 22 matches, 1 point above Portland, who had a fairly significantly better goal difference. But then in a fortnight, we have, we have 3v6 and 4v5, and then Portland and OL Reign will host the prelim finals on the 24th. And that would be just in time for the dub to start, and then we can get all of our players back, which would be nice.
Yes.
Only one little bit of state football this week, but it was a big one. Canberra Olympic got a 4-1 win in the Capital Football Grand Final over Belconnen United. Stefan's notes here, he's noted that Olympic were pretty comfortable in the end. Sophia Dumos was awarded the excellently named Julie Murray Medal for Best on Ground. Ash Sykes and Olivia Gurney can't have been far behind. Olympic scored 2 in the first 22 minutes, and then Belconnen had been, because Belconnen had been pretty good scoring early for themselves, they weren't able to get into the game. And it was also the first time that these two teams had met in the grand final. Obviously, Belconnen and Canberra Croatia had been the two dominant teams over the past, since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. And then, obviously, this is Olympic's first, Olympic's first women's trophy. I could be wrong in that, though.
Yeah, but it's their first grade trophy. Although, they did win a trophy earlier that day, apparently, thanks to Stefan.
Yeah, Yeah, reserves also got a win against the against Belconnen in the grand final as well. Congratulations to Canberra Olympic. Traditionally a very strong side in the men's game. Also fantastic social club, the Hellenic Club. If you would like to go and have a delicious Asian meal, there is a very nice Asian restaurant there. But that's not for this podcast.
Well, I think that's very relevant to this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm planning at least one
Canberra
trip during the A-League.
Have never had a suva. We had our year 12 formal at the Hellenic Club. I've never had a suva there, but I have had a fantastic Malaysian meal. Very, very good.
Okay, so I think we wanted to keep it a quick one because it's so late. So it's time for Queens of the Week. And as I'm praying that I didn't forget anything, like I forgot the Matilda squad last week. So firstly, we'll go with Madge because I believe you're going to mix it up with your Queens, a selection for Queens, plural of the week. But it's going to be a very popular selection.
Yeah, I think I'm taking a bit of a long bow going up. Well, World Cup coming up for 2023 for football. So let's just go to the World Cup that's been held in Sydney in the basketball, and a big congratulations to the Opals for, putting in a fantastic effort, coming away with bronze at that tournament. And, who doesn't like a great comeback story like Lauren Jackson's, and as well as just, players absolutely stepping up on that team. And I think the one thing that I think a lot of commentary around the Opals has shown is just what great chemistry and camaraderie in a team can do. They looked like they were having a lot of fun throughout the tournament, and I think that is something that the Matildas could absolutely get a good healthy dose of in the lead up to the World Cup. They're under a lot of pressure and a lot of scrutiny, but let's hope that they don't forget that they should be having a lot of fun in the lead up to the World Cup as well.
Agreed.
It's my observation, just through all levels of sport, that teams that have fun play better. Mm-hmm. So it's selected the squad basically with chemistry in mind. And I'm going to stop talking about that before I get in trouble as to potentially who was not selected. Anyway, let's move on. That's healthy, well outside the scope of the Beyond 90 podcast.
And as you say, Madge, like it's something that you look at the Boomers at the men's team at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. They won bronze as well. It was the first time that the men had ever won an Olympic medal. And you know, the one thing that really shone through in both teams was the fact that they were clearly playing for each other. And I think that really showed in. Disappointed in not to win the semi-final, but yeah, obviously very proud to get a bronze. With those girls, very happy for them. Yeah. Stefan has Queen of the Week, Eric?
He does. He's very helpfully put that in the notes. Thanks, Stefan. So it's another very popular Queen of the Week choice, I'm sure. So it's Ashley Sykes, who, in his opinion, was the best player, his humble opinion, of course, the best player of the 2022 Capital Football NPL Women's season, but certainly an informed opinion because Stefan does watch a lot of that competition. And he did want to note it's a shame she's decided to not put the boots on for the forthcoming A-League Women's season. So, I mean, obviously that's Ash's decision. She's decided to move on to other things with her life, and just want to say we certainly all enjoyed watching her tear down the football field and just leave opponents staring at the back of her head disappearing into the distance. So I think Dale, what's your selection for Queen, King or non-binary legend of the week?
Well, mine is Viviana Miedema. Thank you, Viviana Miedema, for scoring for Arsenal in the Champions League knockout stage against Ajax, because otherwise we would have a lot less content to cover because we would have two fewer Australians in the tournament, and Arsenal are in a fairly handy pot. So they can only be grouped with Lyon, Barcelona or Wolfsburg from the top pot, but they're in pot two. So really looking forward to them. Arsenal, obviously the only English women's team to have won a European Cup.
Yep. So I'm assuming that the fourth team in the pot one, which they can't be grouped with, is Chelsea.
It's Chelsea.
Yep. Exactly right. And of course, you cannot have two teams from the same country in the group stage of the Champions League. So I'm going to have a very on-brand duo of Queens of the Week, because one is Irish and the other plays for Hills United. So my first Queen of the Week is Claire Shine, has played for the Republic of Ireland, was until recently playing for Glasgow City in the Scottish Women's Premier League. She's recently decided to hang up the boots and end her professional football career. She's achieved a lot, but I think the thing that stands out for me with Claire Shine is, I've said this before, is how open she's been with her struggles, both with suicidal thoughts, alcohol addiction, drug addiction. So she's fought through that. She's, I think, earlier this year, celebrated a milestone of being 2 years sober. And we certainly wish Claire all the best in the next phase of her life, wherever that takes her. But I believe she's going to stay involved in football. And my other Queen of the Week, which is incredibly obscure, but it's me, is we're going to the New South Wales Second Division, known as League One Women's. So Hills United central defender and captain Desiree Galea, I think a couple of weeks ago, played her final game. She announced her retirement. It was the grand final between Hills United and Gladesville Ravens. Unfortunately, Hills United lost in extra time to the Ravens, but I just want to give a shout out to Desiree for being a wonderful leader of one of my local women's football teams. So I think that's it. So just before we sign off, is there anything, Madge, either of you, that you'd like to add?
Oh, happy World Cup ticket buying this week, everyone.
Oh, yes. Yes, please.
Yeah, very important that we probably should have put it at the top of the show. But yes, World Cup tickets come out soon. You will get your details around city packs. Thorough recommendation, buy a city pack. A, cheap. B, it's all in one city. What else do I need to tell you? Go and do it.
Yes. So wait, the Sydney City pack would have both Homebush and...
Yes, there's two different ones.
We bought the Paris City pack in France, and it was probably the best decision that we made for the whole tournament. We got the same seats at every game. And we got games all the way up to, I think we had 7 games all the way up to the quarterfinals. So it comes with my thorough recommendation.
Yep. Okay. So that's, and then that's something I really needed to hear, and I might need to put the World Cup tickets in the
social put a little bit of money aside.
And probably the big tip is also to probably go on and set up your ticketing account with FIFA on their website if you haven't already done that, so that you're not faffing around with that on sale day.
Yep. Okay. So I think that's the very, we've saved the best to last. So we wish all the best. People all the best with their ticket buying. I'm sure there'll be some kind of another round of tickets when we, I don't know which teams are playing in which cities on which days. But anyway, I think that's it for this week. So this is Eric Sobiano on behalf of Magellacard and Del Root. So wishing you all the best of vibes, and thanks so much for your support once again of the Beyond 90 podcast. Be kind to yourself, tell your loved ones how much they mean to you. Get more tattoos, please. And if you're a player, I hope you razzle every time the ball is at your feet. Until next time, see ya.